In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Harmony Goal Podcast. Once again, our goal in setting up this particular podcast is to let people know that in these times where it seems like we don't have any say, we don't have any ability to change the world for the better, and all the news seems so negative, there's a lot of good going on out there, and we want to highlight as much of that as we possibly can. And this is a third in a series for the Action Center, where we're talking about the Action Center in Jefferson County, in right outside Denver. And the Action Center is an organization that helps people get back on their feet when they've hit some hard times. In our first in the series there, we talked about the food and how much food is distributed. The Action Center last year distributed 2.8 million pounds of food that was all donated. But you know full well that the food doesn't show up on the shelves automatically. They have to work hard to get that. In the second episode with the Action Center, we talked about clothing and some of the services that are offered to people to help them get back on their feet again. In this episode, we are delighted to have Carrie Stroop here. And Carrie is the lady who takes care of all that incredible amount of work of getting the volunteers in the door. And if it wasn't for volunteers, 31 to 32 employees would never be able to handle all of the work that is done there. And Carrie takes care of making sure that there are hundreds of volunteers. That is one full-time job. So Carrie Stroop, welcome to the Harmony Goal Podcast. And if you'd like to have a little something to say as we open up here today.
Yeah, thank you very much. I am a manager of volunteer programs and special events, and I've been working at the Action Center for almost 5 years. And we're really grateful that you're putting a spotlight on all the work we're doing.
Well, the work needs a spotlight because people need to know that their little efforts, sometimes it's a big effort, sometimes it's a little effort, every single dollar helps to bring people back onto their feet again. So, Carrie, one of the things that I mentioned just briefly there is that you need hundreds of volunteers, because with the amount of clothing that you collect, the amount of food that you collect, the amount of services that you provide to people who are hitting on a hard time can never be done with a small staff of people. And so how do you go about finding volunteers, or do they all find you?
Well, we post our volunteer opportunities on several different websites like Volunteer Match and Spark the Change. And a lot of times people just find us because they're searching for ways to help the community, and they can, they land on our webpage and can find the volunteer opportunities on our Get Involved page. And so particularly since COVID, we haven't really done a lot of out in the community recruiting because things have been, so limited. But we've been so blessed that people have been seeking us out and really dedicating their time to help us throughout this difficult time.
Well, that's amazing that you have not had the opportunity to get out there to grab people, and yet the people showed up, because the COVID period of time was, I know, a major, major headache for you with all the changes that had to happen with being working close with people and so on. So I'm delighted you were able to do that. So when you're finding these volunteers, are there any specialties that you have to make sure you get covered? In other words, people with special abilities, special skills, that sort of thing. Is there anything like that you have to take into consideration?
Right now, a lot of our work, because we're still doing our COVID operations of a drive-through food distribution, a lot of our volunteer opportunities are very physical. So we don't have a lot of sit-down jobs at the moment. As we move into the fall and winter and we come back inside and have our services inside, we'll have more opportunities for people who need sit-down roles. And so we're looking forward to being able to expand our opportunities and draw more people in. And then we always love getting people who speak other languages. So we always are looking for Spanish speakers, but we also have a lot of people right now that are coming in for services that speak Russian, or we have been seeing some Afghan refugees coming in for clothing. And so we haven't had an Afghan, we haven't had people who speak the same language, but we would love to have that because it's been something that we've been lacking.
See, that's the sort of thing that a lot of people wouldn't think about, is the importance of having another language, because there are so many people that are in need right now. That's pretty amazing. And once you get people on board, what do you have to do any kind of special training? How do you train the people who have come in to be volunteers?
So before COVID, we would have a volunteer orientation and we would do some specific training for some of the jobs. Mm-hmm. And during our COVID operations, which we're still in, it's really on the job training. So people can go to our website, go to the Get Involved page of our website, sign up for the days and type of job they want to volunteer in. And when they show up for their first day, staff members will be there to meet them and train them. And for our jobs right now, nothing takes more than, you know, 15 minutes of training. And so whether you're at the clothing bank or at the warehouse or doing our food distribution, it's easy to learn and catch on quickly.
Mm-hmm. So the warehouse, what sort of things are, what sort of jobs can you allocate out in a warehouse area? Because I know people, when people come up there and open up their trunk, you never know what's going to come out of there.
Yeah.
Is it going to be all clothes? Is it going to be all food? Is it going to be a combination? Is it going to be some of the things we need, like cosmetics and that sort of thing? How do you handle that?
So we have a team of volunteers that helps us sort the donations. So mm-hmm. once they're accepted and rolled into the back, we have people who are sorting the clothing, looking through the linens and the towels and sizing them and putting them together into sets. And then we have people who are sorting the food in a way that's easy for us to get onto the shelves and out to the community. So dealing with the donations is definitely a real important role for volunteers. And then at our warehouse, we pack boxes of non-perishable food at the warehouse. And so we have shifts on Thursdays in the morning and the afternoon, and it's been pretty amazing because people have shown up there in the cold and in the heat, and they've really helped us out by packing the boxes. Those boxes get moved to our main location for the drive-through food distribution, and when somebody comes through and gets food, they'll get non-perishable food in that box, but then also get things from our cooler and our freezer and fresh bread and produce. So it all kind of fits into the process.
Got it. That's amazing. So if somebody's sitting at home thinking, what can I do? I don't know any other job than maybe the one I retired from or the one that I'm no longer participating in. They can come there and learn a task very quickly and be productive in helping the people that are in need right now.
Yes, yes, they can.
Oh, that's great. So they get a probably get the chance to work with somebody who's been on that job for a little while also. And
yeah, we have we have a lot of volunteers that come in every week for the same shift, but it's not required. And so if somebody's coming in to volunteer for the first time, they'll be working alongside people who have done that job on a weekly basis, and they'll support them and coach them along with the staff members. And then if they like it, it's really fun to come back at the same shift every week, because then you're getting to know the same people. And that's a big benefit of volunteering, is, you know, making friends and extending your, you know, social network.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's great. That's awesome. What were some of the challenges you faced? If you could compare pre-pandemic to pandemic to right now, where we think we're kind of coming out of the pandemic, what are some of the challenges that you've had in having to change your behavior, your operations, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we immediately went through the drive-through food distribution. And so before, participants were coming in to the building, they were checking in with volunteers at the front desk, and they were meeting with volunteer advocates, and then they could shop for themselves. And so we had lots of different volunteer roles that some included sitting and working on the computer or greeting people. And then some of them were more physical. And when we switched to the drive-through food distribution, all of our roles were really focused on very physical activity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people just weren't able to continue to volunteer in that meet that demand. But also, you know, right, remember when the pandemic started and they really encouraged people over 65 to stay at home and kind of quarantine without going out. And so almost immediately, a big chunk of our existing volunteer base was asked not, you know, to stay at home for their own safety. And that created a little bit of panic for me, because I just felt, I had this moment of like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get this done? But the community really stepped up. We had a lot of people who were maybe working from home, but had more flexibility in their work schedule, so they could come in and do a shift. We just had a lot of different people in different situations show up and help us out. And so I had that moment of panic, but my fears never really came true.
Wow. But what about the way you managed that? Obviously, it was great, because I could drive by there and see people out there, no matter what the weather was, you know, helping and distributing foods and that sort of thing. It was fabulous to see.
Yeah.
Do you have any limitations as far as your volunteers are concerned, as far as either physical or age limitations for how you can accept volunteers?
Yeah. So we are taking volunteers that are under age 15 right now. So that the age, minimum age, is 15. And other than that, we don't have an age restriction. Our physical, we don't have a specific physical requirement, but just the many of the jobs are fairly physically demanding. I would say for somebody who may not be able to stand for very long, the clothing bank is the best place to volunteer, because you can sit while you're hanging clothes or labeling clothes and getting them ready to go out into the clothing bank.
And I know full well that you just moved into, within the pandemic time, you moved into a larger facility for clothing. So not only do you give 2.8 million pounds of food, but I don't know if you have any way of identifying the numbers of pieces of clothing that you give away. And I think the key word there is give away. You get this these donations in, and you pass them on to people at no expense. So what was it like for you to move into this new facility? Because it was away from your main facility with the clothing, as far as getting volunteers there.
Yeah, the volunteers were amazing, because we decided to move into this new building that was much bigger. And so we felt like people could spread out and be safer. And myself and a few volunteers worked really hard to get it all set up. And we notified the volunteers of the shift. We broadcasted our needs. And people were so gracious and supportive and really excited to open up a clothing bank again because it was such a need during the pandemic and continues to be a need. And so we're seeing between 60 and 80 families come through every day to get clothing. And so every day we have hundreds of pieces of clothing going out the door for free.
That is fabulous. That is amazing. Yeah. Because that's such a huge expense for people, and they're wondering about what they're going to be able to send their kids back to school in and that sort of thing, which brings up another subject for me. In addition to all these other daily routine giveaways that you have, and the counseling that you do, and the help that you do, and the financial help that goes on top of that, you also have lots of unique activities during the year that are special activities. One of those being the back to school. Would you talk about that a little and how you handle your volunteers for that?
Yeah, so we do a back to school distribution of backpacks full of school supplies. And we gave out about 4,600 backpacks this year. And it takes us about 2 weeks, a week of moving in to a gym. This year we were at Everett Middle School, and packing the backpacks, and then a week of giving them out. And so we had about 500 volunteers involved in that event. So a lot of people look forward to it, including myself, because it's a really fun event to work at. And so we've never really had any trouble filling our volunteer slots because there are a lot of groups and businesses and individuals who, you know, kind of keep their eye out for that opportunity because it's a tradition and a fun event to participate in.
4,600 backpacks?
Yes.
4,600 backpacks. That's beyond comprehension. Stop and think about the things. It's not just the backpacks, but taking the time to get the items. And how do you go about gathering the items that you need for that? Because once again, if somebody's sitting at home thinking, what could I do to make this a better world? What do you do? How do you gather all that all that material?
Yeah, so it all comes through donations, and people can either donate money, and then I go out and do a wholesale order. So I get, you know, big bulk pallets worth of supplies. And then some people like to shop themselves because it's, you know, it's fun to go out there each year, and they'll buy them and then drop them off for us, and then we'll incorporate them into the pack. We have, you know, as the events are coming up in the summer, we'll put out a list of our most needed items, but probably the biggest need is just the fun backpacks that the little kids love with the cute characters on them and everything. So now this in the fall is a good time to look for those kinds of things on sale. Mm-hmm. And so if you were going to pick some up now, you could probably get some good deals, and we would go ahead and collect them at the Action Center, and then we will store them until next August.
So there's always a need.
Yes.
So we talk about that, but I know full well, you've also talked just a little bit about what you did to help out on the Guinness exercises. And tell our listening audience a little bit about the two that I know of, two Guinness challenges that you had.
Yeah, we did a collection drive of socks and set the world record for the number of socks collected in a period of time. And then we did a similar thing for the number of pairs of underwear collected in an hour. And so we have world records for those two things. And volunteers played an integral role in staffing the collections and going out and buying socks and dropping them off. And just so people know, underwear and socks are two of the things that are in the most need at the clothing bank. So they were really meeting a need when people were participating in those drives.
That's interesting because you got to have people that are involved with those drives long before the drive actually happens, because Guinness gives you like an hour or two to actually do the physical collecting. And so the amount of work that goes in there ahead of time, and then on collection day, you've got to have a staff of people ready to go.
Yes.
And yeah. I don't know about the underwear drive, but I do know that the record prior to the Action Center was something like 2,700 pair of socks, which is huge.
Yeah.
You collected 35,000 pair of socks.
Yes.
And that was mind-boggling when I think about the number of volunteers that you had to coordinate to make that happen.
Yeah. And to make the world record count, you have to have like independent people counting the socks. So we had people that weren't that connected with the Action Center, you know, agree to show up here and count the socks, and to make it all official, there was a lot of hands involved.
Wow, that is fabulous. That's fabulous. You've got to go home feeling pretty good on a night like that.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a Christmas drive.
Yes.
You need volunteers for that.
Yes. So we are shifting a little bit this year, and we're focusing more on our Adopt a Family program. And then we're doing drives that are focused on pajamas, socks, underwear, and warm coats for kids. So during the pandemic, we added an Adopt-a-Family program. And one of the things that we learned, when people could request what they wanted the most for holiday gifts, they were requesting pajamas and warm clothing. And so I was just surprised at how frequently families needed that. Really, was really important to them. So we're going to encourage people to either adopt a family through Adopt a Family program or participate in gathering pajamas and coats and underwear and socks so that families can also have some clean, new, warm clothing.
And this all comes because of the fact that you were able to gather and train and help hundreds and hundreds of volunteers.
Yes.
Because it's not the same people all the time. It's
right.
You've got a changeover of people when it's volunteer organization. Well, I know you've also done paper drives. You've done what's called the beautiful junk sale, which is the big sale where it's like a huge, and let me say that one more time, huge garage sale. And because of pandemic, I know that had to go away for a while, but is coming back as a little mini sale. So once again, anything to raise money for this wonderful cause that you have there. And so one of the things that I would like to find out is just knowing full well that people listening to this podcast saying, what can I do? It's not only the Action Center, but there are organizations all over the country where people can get involved. Do you have any suggestions for people as to how they can find a place that they can go if it's not their church or their synagogue or whatever? Where you mentioned a couple of organizations that you go to. What are those?
Yeah, so Volunteer Match is, I think it's all across the country, and it can let you pick which like area of interest you have and which area, you know, how far away from your home you're willing to drive. And so you can find opportunities that are convenient to you and fit your special interests. So if you're interested in helping people who are experiencing homelessness, you can focus on that, or animals, or food insecurity. So that's one option. In Colorado, there's an organization called Spark the Change, and they also post volunteer opportunities for nonprofits. And so I think probably any larger urban community has kind of postings that you could search for to find the volunteer opportunities. And yeah, I think you would, yeah, and you would find, you know, a lot of places are super flexible, easy to get in contact with, and really need the help.
That's wonderful, because we know full well the staffing, that they do an amazing job of organizing and running the organization, but those volunteers are absolutely critical and important. I'm just kind of curious about something. I know you get a chance to really get personally attached to your volunteers. I know that for personal belief, because I, as you know, I came over and helped out a little bit for a short time before the pandemic. And I'm just kind of curious, when you talk to these people, what do they get out of volunteering?
So I think a lot of people are feeling isolated, especially after the pandemic. And so volunteering is a great way to get connected to other people, not just the people that you're helping, but the people that you're working with, other volunteers and staff members. So there's a big social benefit, especially if you come regularly. We have groups of people who, you know, have volunteered together, and they start going out to lunch together. And so that's a great benefit. And then also just feeling active and involved in the community, and the satisfaction of really touching someone's lives and making a difference really provides a lot of a boost of morale.
That's great. That's wonderful. Just the fact of knowing that you're doing something good, because so much of the media today tells us about all the negative things because that sells. But yeah, we know full well there's a lot of good going on out there, and the Action Center definitely is one of those exclamation points out there in the area of doing good. And so in our three meetings with the Action Center, we have found out about food distribution, collection and distribution, clothing and distribution, how counseling can help, and financial help that happens. And now we hear about the cadre of people you have out there as volunteers. And thank God there's someone like you out there that can help us put that together so that people can walk away feeling a higher level of dignity and self-worth, if you will. And that's the gift that you give. And I would just like to find out, do you have a place where people can go to help out, even if they can't do it physically, how they might be able to help you financially?
Yeah, so we are always looking for financial support to keep our operations going. And our website is a great place to donate. And then, you know, people stop by frequently and drop off checks if they're not comfortable donating online or concerned about the mail. The people who work in our development department are super friendly. They love meeting new people. So if you wanted to stop by, they would love to meet anybody who wants to make a donation. But the easiest way is on the website.
Okay, and the website is theactioncenter.org.
Yes.
No spaces. Theactioncenter.org. And they can go there, and there's a place where they can click on donate and find out all the wonderful things that you're doing and the activities that are coming up, and if there's anything that people can possibly volunteer for, that their time, their efforts, their energy, their love, their caring would be welcome with open arms.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Carrie, is there anything you'd like to say to the people out there who are wondering, can I volunteer? I've volunteered before, but I don't know where to go, blah, 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 blah. Whatever thing you'd like to share with our listening audience today as we close out.
Yeah, I guess I would encourage everybody to think about what they're interested in, what they're passionate about, and what causes speak to their hearts. And if they Google that kind of cause, they'll find organizations that need their help. And so maybe they've been touched by, their family's been touched by cancer or Alzheimer's. They all have organizations in the area that could use help. If you're interested in helping people less fortunate in the community, the Action Center would love to have your help.
Very good. Excellent. Well, thank you, Carrie, for taking your time, because I know you are one busy person, and to share your thoughts with us and giving people ideas of how they can help make this a better world for everyone and create more harmony along the way. So you certainly are an example of how that is done. So thank you for being here, and thank you for all the work you do for so many people.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Absolutely. And thank you for listening. And please tune in again next week. And we'll have another organization talking about the things that they're doing for the planet, for the fellow man, and helping to create more harmony in this world. So we'll look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.